Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
You've got casinos operating at 50% capacity with hundreds of thousands of people going through them, and you've got these churches limited to 50 people. I think the proof is in the pudding.
Divorce is really just the kickoff of a lifetime of transition, loss, and instability for kids. And if you're a child of divorce, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Those who view science and faith as enemies understand neither.
Muhammad, he wants you to believe him on force. For Jesus, he does things to make you want to believe him.
Parents trying to attend a virtual conference with a toddler in the living room. Love issues, etc.
There have been some very significant decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court recently on abortion laws. One of those decisions, June Medical Services, well, we were told that it was a swing vote on the part of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, and that he went with the majority, knocking down a Louisiana law that would have required hospital privileges of Louisiana abortionists. Now, did this get reported accurately? I think all of us were disappointed in Roberts' siding with the liberal majority, but why did he do it, and what else did he have to say in his version of the decision that has the lower courts scrambling to send abortion laws back down and asking the lower courts to reconsider their ideas on those laws? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, August the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court and the future of abortion laws with Clark Forsythe, Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life. A little bit later, Holly Scheer joins us. You've heard about pod schooling or micro schooling. What is it? And will it last past the pandemic? What does it have to do with school choice? We'll answer those questions. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us for This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, we'll talk about Francis Chan in Hong Kong, claiming that Christians are, in some sense, like Jesus, both God and man. Then it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got four soundbites to play for you. One from Molly Hemingway, one from Pastor Will Whedon, one from Dr. Joel Bierman, and one from Dr. Craig Evans. We'll play them for you, and then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Sending us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the Supreme Court and the future of abortion laws, Clark Forsythe, the Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life and author of the book Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade. Clark, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be back with you.
Why do you call the Supreme Court the National Abortion Control Board?
Because that's the self-appointed role the court adopted in Roe versus Wade in 1973. And it's basically the criticism that has been levied against the court by a number of justices, Justice White, Justice O'Connor, Justice Thomas, because of Roe. It simply recognizes that the court assumed the role of approving surgical and operative standards for every abortion clinic from coast to coast.
You say that the real starting point for understanding the recent decision, June Medical Services, tell us a little bit about it, but the way to understand it is what you call the badly fractured 4113 decision with six opinions totaling 133 pages. Tell us about that.
The case is called June Medical Services versus Russo from Louisiana. And in that case, the court invalidated a Louisiana law that required that abortion providers be able to admit patients to a hospital after complications. And the press, the media, immediately after the decision on June 29th, misreported what happened. They basically, reporters simply said it was a 5-4 decision in which Chief Justice Roberts joined the four liberals to strike down the Louisiana law. End of story. Well, there's a lot more to it, and we've been seeing the aftermath over the past 6 weeks. And the starting point, as I said, is that it was a badly fractured court, and that tells first and foremost that Roe versus Wade is not settled, the abortion issue is not settled, and there isn't even a majority on the court today that can agree on the standards that apply. So unsettledness is good for us, good for pro-life Americans and for pro-life lawyers who are seeking to overturn the Roe decision.
What did Chief Justice Roberts, what did he indicate in that and recent decisions about the future of the court's stance on issues like this?
The simplest way to describe June Medical is that it was a 4-1-4 decision in which Roberts was in the middle. And Justice Breyer's opinion was only for four justices. That's called a plurality opinion. And what's important is that because it was for only five, it's not binding in any future abortion case. It's kind of like dead on arrival. It applied for that day, but not binding in future cases. Roberts' opinion in the middle really controlled the result. And although he provided the fifth vote to strike down the Louisiana law, he then did what I like to call a head fake. He basically said, but after today, I'm going to apply more deferential standards to state abortion limits and effectively join with the dissenters, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, to create a new majority of five justices on the court for future abortion cases.
How did the 1992 case, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, shift the court's framework on abortion?
Well, at the time in 92, it purported to adopt more deferential standards to state abortion limits, whether it's parental notice laws, abortion funding limits, informed consent laws, gestational limits, whatever. Again, it was a plurality in the Casey decision of just three justices said we're going to adopt more deferential standards. But that hasn't proved to be the case. And Justice Kennedy, who retired in 2018, kind of went back and forth inconsistently. I think that with June Medical and with Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts' opinion, basically joining with the dissenters for future cases, that we now have a new majority that will be the most deferential to state limits since Casey, since 92, in 27, 28 years. Now, I don't want to exaggerate. Roberts, Alito, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh don't say they would overturn Casey. They don't say they would overrule Roe. But that's something that needs to be pressed in future cases. And I think the essential factor or the decisive factor is getting a sixth or a seventh justice on the court who will be willing to review Roe versus Wade.
Tell us about the case Whole Women's Health and why in that case couldn't the dissenters get Justice Roberts to concur with them?
Well, Whole Women's Health was a 2016 decision and Kennedy was on the court at that time. And Kennedy provided the fifth vote in that case to strike down the, at that time, Texas laws, which required that abortionists be able to admit women to emergency rooms after complications. In June Medical, which was just decided June 29th, the dissenters couldn't get Roberts to agree to uphold the Louisiana law, but even they pointed out that he agreed with them that Whole Women's Health, the 2016 decision, should not apply going forward to other abortion laws. But in effect, I mean, even Justice Kavanaugh in his dissent in June Medical said, five of us basically would throw out the whole women's health standards and adopt Casey standards. So to my mind, the way I look at the future is that the 2020 elections, presidential election, Senate election, are going to be absolutely critical to the future of the court and the future of abortion in the court. And that until we get a sixth or seventh justice, this new majority puts us in a good position to cut back on Roe and allow more state abortion limits to go into effect until we get a sixth or seventh justice. And I think everyone, I mean, a pro-life American should realize why a 6-3 overruling or a 7-2 overruling of Roe versus Wade is better than a 5-4 overruling. We want the largest possible majority that we can get because it will be more long-lasting, more permanent, more stable.
If Joe Biden wins the presidency and if the Democratic Party takes control of the Senate, I take it there's no possibility of that sixth or seventh justice and the court stays the way it is foreseeably. What does that mean?
Well, it means that, I mean, as with the Clinton administration, as with the Obama administration, it's clear from what Mr. Biden has said that he will appoint justices in the mold of Breyer, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan, who are committed to Roe versus Wade, committed to abortion on demand. And so whether Biden or the Biden administration is in office for 4 years or 8 years, throughout that time, we will have more pro-abortion justices nominated. And if pro-abortion senators take over the Senate, confirmed by the Senate, just as the Clinton 8 years and the Obama 8 years served to put more pro-abortion justices on the court and delay the reckoning with Roe versus Wade, so would a Biden administration.
What has Justice Thomas had to say about Roe?
Well, Thomas has been the most critical justice on the court. I mean, since 92, when he publicly announced that he thought that Roe should be overturned entirely as illegitimate. He still today is the only justice on the court that has publicly come out saying Roe versus Wade should be expressly overturned. And through a series of opinions since December of 2018, I guess, he has issued a number of decisions saying Roe should be overturned, our abortion doctrine is illegitimate, our abortion doctrine is unworkable, our abortion doctrine has had terrible results and a terrible impact, and it's our mess and we should clean it up. He has written these powerful opinions, nudging the justices, especially the so-called conservatives, to not shirk from standing up and expressly revisiting Roe and overturning it.
Clark Forsythe is our guest. He's senior counsel for Americans United for Life. We're talking with him about the Supreme Court and the future of abortion laws. He says that this decision in June Medical Services is evidence that Roe is unsettled. Is this the time to take advantage of that particular situation? We'll be right back.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
the 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House. A charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Really, on any issue, there's no way you could call her either pragmatic or moderate. So the fact that the New York Times said that, it just tells us that the media are fully on board with the Democratic presidential campaign, and they will do whatever it takes to get Joe Biden and Kamala Harris elected.
A meek person is a person who simply trusts that God's got their back and they don't have to avenge themselves. They leave it to God, because they know that God is the one who is in charge, not them.
They are to be kept distinct. The work of the temporal realm and the work of the spiritual realm are different, but they're not unrelated, and they're not to be kept divorced from each other.
We're in a dangerous stage in Western civilization, how our academic elites are annoyed by the concept of facts or truth.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., live this Friday afternoon, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You'll hear those four soundbites played in their entirety, and then your vote will decide which will be Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, we're talking about the Supreme Court and the future of abortion laws. Clark Forsyth of Americans United for Life is our guest. Clark, you have said that this 4113 decision in June Medical Services shows that Roe is radically unsettled. What does that mean, and is it time to take advantage of that with new abortion restrictions?
Well, it is, I think, in the sense of taking the right cases to the court and emphasizing the unsettled nature of Roe. It's just not my opinion. Linda Greenhouse, in a New York Times op-ed yesterday, she was the former Supreme Court reporter for the New York Times for something like two or three decades. In an op-ed yesterday, she referred to this moment of instability in the court's abortion doctrine. So I think it's acknowledged on both sides of the spectrum that Roe is unsettled. And June Medical contributed to that because, in effect, since 92, the court has bounced back and forth between applying Casey and changing the standards, adopting new standards in virtually every abortion case that they decide. And June Medical was the latest example of basically chucking the 2016 decision in Whole Women's Health and adopting a new standard and throwing out the old ones. And that creates unsettlement, along with a president or a vice president who says, we're going to overturn Roe, we're going to apply pro-life justices, or red states going in a pro-life direction, blue states going in a pro-abortion direction, both because they expect sooner or later the court's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. All of this shows the unsettled nature politically, legally, in the country. All of it is to the benefit of pro-life advocates and pro-life Americans and pro-life lawyers.
You have pointed out that the court, in all the time since Roe was decided, has been unable to explain why the court continues to dictate one nationwide rule of abortion. Why is that important?
Because the essence of a constitutional decision by the court is explaining why its decision is rooted in the Constitution. And Casey basically acknowledged that Roe didn't do that, and there wasn't even a majority of justices in Casey in 92 to agree as to why Roe v. Wade or why an abortion right was rooted in the Constitution. And there has been no majority, no five justices since 92 to tell the nation why Roe, an abortion right, is rooted in the Constitution. We still haven't gotten a majority opinion saying that. And so the court has evaded the most essential requirement of a Supreme Court decision. Why is it rooted in the law? Why is it rooted in the Constitution? And Thomas has been the only one to stand up and say the emperor has no clothes. We've never provided this essential requirement to the nation. He's almost goading, or at least nudging, the other justices to stand up and fix their own mess, as he's called it.
The term stare decisis, or that respect for precedent, why should it not apply in cases like Roe, where the court has not been able to articulate its constitutional foundations, and where obviously the case seems very unsettled?
Because stare decisis is kind of the drive-by shorthand abbreviation for a longer Latin phrase, which I think is stare decisis et non quiete movere, which means don't unsettle what's settled. And so settled law or settled doctrine is the starting point. So if you have a case like Brown versus Board of Education that's settled, you would have to explain why you should unsettle it. But if it's unsettled, like Casey or Roe, then it doesn't deserve the respect of stare decisis. So the first question a judge should ask in applying a precedent that's being challenged is, well, is this settled or not? If it's settled, what's the compelling reason for revisiting it? And if it's unsettled, then stare decisis respect or respect for precedent doesn't even apply. That's the starting point, and I think Thomas gets that, although the other so-called conservatives have yet to publicly acknowledge that. Thomas gets it. So that's a point that has to be pressed in public dialogue, and in the court itself.
You mentioned earlier the Greenhouse New York Times op-ed, and I noted that she was bemoaning the fact that I think it was the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals had reinstated some Alaska laws respecting abortion limits. And she says that's the future, or at least the near-term future, of abortion law. Do you agree with her?
It is, while we have this majority on the court of Roberts, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, as long as those five justices stay on the court, I think she's right. And she points to the Eighth Circuit's decision, which was decided on just August 7th. I can tell you how I interpret Roberts' opinion, but it's more important to look at what the courts have done since June Medical. And the media misreported what June Medical did and said, but the media has also not really reported what's happened since then. Just 3 days after the June Medical decision, this new majority on the court threw out two pro-abortion rulings from lower courts and sent them back to the lower courts with directions to reconsider their decisions in light of what the court had said in June Medical. On July 29th, there was a challenge to several other Louisiana abortion laws. That was voluntarily dismissed, apparently due to the implications of June Medical. And then there was this U.S. Court of Appeals decision from the Eighth Circuit, which covers the upper Midwest, on August 7th. And the court in that case, the Federal Appeals Court, threw out a three-year-old injunction against four Arkansas abortion limits. And they said, reconsider your decision in light of Roberts' opinion in June Medical. So these courts are reading what Chief Justice Roberts said in June Medical
And they're throwing out these pro-abortion decisions and saying, reconsider in light of what happened in June Medical. So that's exciting to see this ferment, which confirms the unsettled nature of abortion doctrine and that these state limits on abortion may be able to go into effect in some of these cases, which we hope will mean more pro-life policy in the state, a reduction in the abortion rate, and more protection for life and for women's health.
Finally, do you think that Chief Justice Roberts intended in his kind of middle decision to send this message to the various federal courts?
Yes, because if you read it, he was quite detailed. I mean, it wasn't a sentence or two. He went on at length. A lawyer for the Center for Reproductive Rights, which represented June Medical, after reading Roberts' opinion, said, quote, Roberts took pains to write an opinion that limited what Justice Breyer had said with the other liberals. The lawyer for the Center for Reproductive Rights said, it's a concurrence that goes out of its way to find common ground with the dissenters. So, I mean, the abortion rights activists and lawyers, they can tell what he wrote, and they've been screaming about it. And then the lower courts have been acting accordingly. So he meant to send a signal and explain his position, and it's been implemented.
Clark Forsythe is senior counsel for Americans United for Life and author of the book Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade. You'll find a link to this book and Americans United for Life on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Clark, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd. Great to talk with you.
Holly Shear is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about pod schooling or micro schooling and the pandemic. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Beatitudes Part 2, Salt and Light, Jesus Fulfills the Law, Jesus Explains the Fifth Commandment, and Jesus Explains the Sixth Commandment. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse, Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.